Starter, isn't it? Good. We love our choir. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, it's another Sunday, and here we are. We've been graced with another week on this planet Earth to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, haven't we? The good, Ohio State won again. The bad, Michigan won again. And there's no need to mention the ugly. Nah, geez, I don't even know why I said that. I had no intention of saying any of that. I've been blessed. We do look at the situations and realize how blessed we are here in this country, this place, to have the hand of the Lord on us. And the blessings come when we follow the Lord. And then the blessings come. Things I want to mention for this week, activities here at the church, besides that, say hello, welcome. Glad you're all here with us. If you've been with us before, we're glad you came back. If you're this first time, we're glad you're here for this. If you've been away for a while, we're glad you're back. We've had illnesses and things that have taken people out of the pulpit or out of the congregation for a while. We're out of the seed for a while, but we are glad you are back. This week is a good time to come back because Prime Timers Week. If you'd like to be a part of Prime Timers, that is on Wednesday at 11:30, and it is meatloaf this week. What man doesn't like meatloaf, you know? And so that's this week at 11:30 on Wednesday. And then we're going to need some help. We have our setup for the Crop and Craft on Thursday after 5 o'clock. Be here at 5 o'clock. Be here for that. And we can just get those tables in place for the ladies to have their activities on Friday, Saturday, and then Saturday evening about 6:30. Is that what time is that, correct, 6:30? 6:30, we'll need some folks to come reset the church. So if you can help us do that, want to be a part of that, write one of those times down or both of those times, 5 o'clock on Thursday to set up for the women, and then 6:30 on Saturday to set up for the church. In between times, you can start buying stuff for your shoebox. Today finishes up our collection of coats and cold weather gear for the Help House. So we figure it's time to start a new project. One project right after another, right? Keeps us all missionary-minded. And so the project that starts this week is the shoebox project. And there are shoeboxes out there to pick up, take home with you, start filling, whether you're going to pick a little boy, a little girl, or one of each, or both, or whatever. Get that out and get that ready for the time when we get those collected for the kids for this Christmas. Also, this coming up in a couple weeks, on the 21st, is Trunk or Treat. So if you want to be a part of Trunk or Treat, that's an activity for the whole church, not just the kids. We have the kids part of it where they go collect their candy from the trunks. Earlier, and then as the evening progresses, there are games and a bonfire and hay rides and things like that we enjoy on the grounds here also. So, but especially need people who are going to set up or decorate their trunk, right? We need to know if you're going to decorate your trunk. There's a sign-up sheet out there so we know how many trunks we have, and that helps us kind of figure out what we're going to need. So if you want to decorate a trunk, bring some candy. We never know how many children to expect. Sometimes we have a good number of children. You know, I say about 35, 40 children usually, somewhere in that ball game. So, but it's a good way to get children involved with coming to the church and realizing that the Christian life can be a fun life and a good life for all facets of ages, all groups of people. And so that we want to share with them. You know, there's an old gospel hymn. It says, come home, it's supper time. Jesus says to us that if we labor and are heavy laden, come to him and he'll give us rest. He also says to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus is inviting us, isn't he? Jesus wants to be a part of our life. If we're not with him, if we're not a part of his family today, if we've found ourselves away from the throne of God, away from the house of the Lord, he invites us to come home. You know, if we find ourselves in a world that's weary, and we've all find it is, we're in a world that's weary, aren't we? Well, we look at the news and it don't take too much. I see the news and I see how the prophecy, biblical truth coming through right there on the news. I see they're bombing them in Israel, and there's an earthquake in Mexico, and all the other unrest. Suicide's one of the biggest problems we have in men's heart. We fear them. We flee for fear. So you look at all these, and we can say, you know, it's time to meet Jesus. That's what they used to say. My grandma used to say that, boy, you're going to meet Jesus. No. But we do need that. You know, if you haven't have a relationship with him, a personal relationship, where you've asked sins forgiven, where you've asked for the labor, your troubles, someone who can help you carry those troubles, and someone who cares about you, who cares so much about you, he came and gave his life on Calvary for you. Meet Jesus. You have opportunity every day, especially this Sunday. while you're here today. Meet Jesus if you don't know him. God bless you.
Good morning, church. If I could have Pastor Bob and Pastor Russ come up for a walk. Every year, October is a Pastor Appreciation Month, and today is when we celebrate that. So the board, just as a small appreciation for what Pastor Russ and Pastor Bob do, we just want to give a little something. So thank you.
Gonna look at my bulletin. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, but am I next? Let's stand, shall we? Wow, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds a victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. And now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, we're royalty. And now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There is joy in this house. There's joy in the house today. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Good to be in the house of the Lord. There's going to be a lot of singing up in heaven, I'll tell you what. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the master's grace divine, that I, a child of heaven, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. A Comforter has come. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Let's read together, shall we? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You may be seated as we continue.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of, and it's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing he made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and strong, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Father, we're here before and in your presence. We know that you're everywhere. But Lord, you said where we gather together, there you are in the midst of us. Help us to put aside the burdens of the week and the stresses and really spend some time with you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We're finally in a good month where it's nice and cool, right? It's not hot out anymore. It's nice and cool. You can wear shorts if you want. You can wear jeans if you want. You can do whatever you want because it's fall. Anybody have any praise this morning? Popcorn praise, remember? Popcorn, pop, 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 pop. Oh, there's a popper right there.
Good morning, church family. I had the blessing of the year. Linda and I got to go to Tennessee and listen to 3 days of gospel music and ride horses and just enjoy each other's company for 3 days. And it was absolutely fabulous. And the Lord really blessed us and touched our hearts and just gave us some time to be with him and to be with each other and brought us home safely. And I just want to praise him for that.
Anyone else? You're all scared now, aren't you?
I just want to say thank you for those that follow the prayer line and have been praying for my friend's son. He was a former student. I had him from kindergarten through eighth, and it's hard to believe some of these students have grown up. He's a young married man with a wife and baby, and I don't know all the details of the situation, but it's not resolved itself yet. So keep praying for him. The Lord knows what they need, and we just ask him to provide it for them. Thank you.
As you know, I've been looking for a part-time job, and actually I went to McDonald's again. So I actually talked to the manager, and now I'm waiting for him to text me back for the hours. I hope to be taking the spot of another lady that does the back window. So just pray that everything comes to fruition and I get the job. Thank you.
Mine's more of a somber note, but I just think we need to pray real hard right now for Israel and what's going over in the Middle East, because things are really going to hit here pretty soon, and we just need to spend a little extra time in prayer and for those people, because God's word's true, and it's about ready to happen. So we just ask you to pray hard and long.
I just ask for prayers for my youngest daughter, and also at the end of the month, the club I'm a part of sponsors a veterans hunt. So if you could pray for those veterans, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Let's see if I can get up here. I praise the Lord for my mom's surgery seemed to go well for her gallbladder. She felt all the prayers that we had going up for her, and that there was different complications as it went through throughout the week. She's still in the hospital right now and at Riverside, and from different things. The last one here is that they think she may be something, you know, of a stroke, you know, she might have. Her energy has went down quite a bit, and doctors suggesting medicine for that. But just keep her in your prayers. I just praise God that God is still with her, and she really feels all the prayers that we have going up as the body of Christ here.
I just want to thank you all for praying for my daughter, Kelly. She's getting better, but she's still having a lot of trouble breathing. And, of course, you know, the insurance company thinks they're in charge and they won't let her have oxygen. So she has to use the inhaler and blow on that funky thing to get at the hospital. But she's getting better, but it's just going to take a while.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here once again this week. And you know what's happening in the world with Israel, your chosen nation and your people, and the atrocities that are taking place there. We pray for your protection, for your guidance, for your direction, Lord. Pray for support for them, not just physically but spiritually, that you'd be with them, watching over them, protecting them, healing their land and their people. And we pray this is a wake-up call for all of us, Lord, to pray daily to you and pray for others and pray for this nation that seems to be crumbling from the inside out. And just pray for leadership that's coming up next, and that's those who are in leadership now, that you'll give them a touch of your spirit that they can wake up to what's happening and put you in charge. Put prayer back in schools and put LifeWise in the schools and all these things that we're talking about hopefully doing that will benefit. And help our churches to rise up to be houses of worship and hospitals for those who are sick and feeling down and depressed. And help us, Lord, to be ministers to them. Be with these requests that you heard today, Lord, for surgeries, for recoveries, for things that are happening in households all around us and all around the nation and all around the world. Lord, we pray for those who maybe this day is a day where they've experienced loss and they're thinking about that. But we just pray that you'll give them hope, knowing that there'll be a reunion in heaven someday. Pray for us to be strong for our families, to be leaders in what a Christian life looks like, that our kids and our grandkids and friends will see what Jesus can do, and that maybe it'll be a transformation in the lives of those who don't know him. Help us, Lord, to walk with you daily, to talk to you daily, to read your word, and to be examples for you. And we ask you to prepare our hearts as we look toward communion. In your name, amen. So as we're taking up the offering, just take a few minutes and prepare yourself for communion. I'm going to read some things before we partake, but it's the Apostles' Creed, if you've heard of that before, hopefully. We're going to do something a little different this time. As we do communion, you're going to take the wafers out by yourself, and then we're going to break them together. Where it says Jesus broke the bread, you're going to break your own wafer to get the symbolic significance of what that means to break the bread, that his body was broken for us. The Apostles' Creed reads like this. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternally begotten Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and he was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death, and he was buried. The third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He'll come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. So the Lord invites us to his table. All who love him earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live at peace with one another. And that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. So let's take the wafer and break it, saying, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. Then he took the cup and said, this is the covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you. Take and drink in remembrance of me. So take and drink. Lord, this morning we thank you for allowing us
be your children, for adopting us, for sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Father, help us, guide us, direct us through these times in life, and we're going to have trouble. But know that you're there with us to guide us and direct us and lead us, to give us comfort, to give us peace, and to give us a home in heaven. Give us your strength and your grace, we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. Part of the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Looking for the first mention of the Holy Spirit. It's in Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So when creation's being made, the Spirit was there, right? Jesus was there. We know the Word was there. We know God was there. You know, the Holy Spirit was there. And I just wondered to myself, you know, was he saying, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that? I don't know. I don't know what he said, but he was there witnessing what was happening anyway. Maybe he discussed it with God and Jesus, but it seems that it was an encounter that he was having with creation. We don't think about that sometimes. I was trying to see where the first person that encountered the Holy Spirit was. And you can look and see for yourself, but I think it was Exodus 35, verses 30 through 33. He says, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God.'" So you can look and try to find other places. That's the place that I found that I think it is. And what did he get from this? He got wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. And then it says in verse 32, "To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts as they were building the tabernacle." I never thought about that before, that the Spirit gives us all kinds of gifts as far as those kind of things, skills, abilities, building things. He was cutting things. He was making things for the tabernacle. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Have the ability to do that and the knowledge to know what he's supposed to do. Do you ever think about that? He was helping him do that. We know about, you know, Noah and the ark and all those things, but I never thought about the artisans that were building the temple. So what did he do? He gave him wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and skills. All those things we need, don't we, every day? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, skills that help us get it through our lives, especially wisdom. See, there's a lot of people out there that don't have much wisdom today. They have education, but not wisdom. Education doesn't give you wisdom, right? Experience gives you wisdom, age gives you wisdom, and the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. Then in Acts 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, "In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." So he gave instructions to the apostles. Didn't say they were written, but they had instruction, didn't they? He told them what they're supposed to do. And he gives us instructions as well. He can tell us where to go, what to do, what to say, and other kinds of instructions that we need. Did you ever get an instruction that said, "Don't do that"? "Don't go there"? "Don't say that"? Even though you want to say it, you're thinking about it, right? He gives us instructions even today, doesn't he? The question is, do we listen to those instructions, or we just blow them off and do whatever we want? When we blow them off, we have a blow up, don't we? Something happens that's not good, that shouldn't happen. John 14, 15 through 17, "If you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you." He lives with you and will be in you. So what's the Holy Spirit do for us? He can help us. He can stand up for us, encourage us, keep us going. You ever get discouraged? Like, "I just can't take this anymore. I'm just tired of this stuff." You look at the news and you're like, "I can't watch anymore. It's just too bad." But we need to know that God's in control. He knows what's happening. He knows the outcome. He's going to give us strength to get through. And it says we won't be alone. He's going to be with us. It's always better to be with somebody when you're doing something, isn't it, instead of by yourself. And you can do things by yourself for a while, and then you're like, "I'm talking, but nobody's answering." And then when you start answering yourself, you're like, "Yeah, I'm in trouble." Right? But he says he lives with us, and he lives in us. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, doesn't he? We have the Holy Spirit in us to help us, direct us, to guide us, to help us be the people God wants us to be. So what I've done this morning is take a lot of different verses and talked about Holy Spirit in different aspects, which I'm going to continue on. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled." What it doesn't say is they spoke in unknown tongues. We believe they spoke in tongues that were known, so the people that were there could understand. So we would say they spoke in foreign languages. But the thing is, they didn't know those languages, but they were yet still speaking in them. So the Spirit helps us communicate to others the gospel, sometimes in their native language, even though we don't know what that language is. I could be speaking like this, and somebody could be here that speaks Spanish or Arabic or whatever and say, I understood every word you said. And I'm like, but I don't speak that language. And they say, but we heard it because the Holy Spirit communicated it to them. And I don't know if they were actually speaking that language or if they just heard him speaking it, but whatever it was, they understood it. How many times have you ever heard someone say, well, I heard what you said, and you say, well, I didn't say that. Yeah, but I heard you say you were speaking to me, and you said this to me, and you're like, yeah, but that's not what I said. Well, they said, that's what I heard. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, because this is the message for you that you're supposed to hear out of this. Sometimes you'll do a message on Sunday morning and talk about things, and somebody's like, yeah, I really appreciate what you said about whatever. I'm like, what? Well, I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit said it to them because they needed to hear that specific thing. So he gives the message. He conveys the message to what we need to hear. Did you ever struggle for an issue sometimes, what you should do? And then all of a sudden you heard a talk on the radio or somebody starts talking about that, and you're like, I didn't even tell you that, so how are you telling me this? But God's speaking through different ways. He can speak through the radio, through songs, through messages, through all kinds of things. Through people that just call you up through a letter you get, a text or something, you're like, I didn't even mention that, but they're talking about it. And you're like, maybe this is a direction I'm supposed to look at or take. So far we've seen this. We need the Spirit to give us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and different skills. He gives us instructions, and he helps us to know the truth because he lives within us. And that's a big thing for us, especially today, is knowing what the truth is, because you can't tell what the truth is a lot of times. We're going to be voting on issue number one, right? You need to look at both sides of that issue. See what the truth is, because there's some information out there that's not true. Some information that's going one side, some's on the other. They did the same thing in August. We had issue one, vote yes or no. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. All I'm going to tell you is look at both sides and read the whole thing. Don't just read the headline, right? Don't just read the headline. Read everything in it so you know what the truth is, and then you vote the way that you think you should vote. Because I don't think politically the church should be saying vote here and vote there. We should believe God has enough wisdom in his people to vote the way he wants them to vote. We don't need to be telling them vote this way, vote that way. So I'm just telling you, read the issues, whatever they are, presidential election, whatever it may be, read, pray, and then vote the way you think God wants you to vote. Because he's in control, right? The Spirit directs us. He controls us. So what else do we need? Look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to go through all of chapter 8. But I speak fast enough, we'll be done in about 10 minutes, so you don't have to worry about it. Said, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What does the Spirit do for us? He frees us from the grip of sin. Sometimes you get in a lifestyle and you go over and over and you're like, why do I keep doing the same thing over again? And you say, God, I need help. I need to get out of this cycle that I'm in. I need to be freed from this power of sin that's got a hold of me, which leads to death. Sometimes that's a physical death, right? Sometimes it's a spiritual death. But a spiritual death can also be an eternal death. That means your body's going to die, but you're in hell forever. And you're not going to communicate with the Lord in that spot, in that time. It says the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weaknesses of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. That tells me the Spirit leads us to certain things, to certain times, to certain ways, directions, conversations, places, whatever it may be, places to go and places not to go. We've talked about before people that are driving somewhere and they said, if I was 5 minutes sooner, I would have been involved in that. If I was 5 minutes later. I think I told you before when I was in Russia, we were getting ready to fly back to the States and they started separating our group. You guys go over here, you guys go over there. You guys over there get on the plane, you guys here sit down. We're like, what is going on? Some of us had printed tickets and some were written tickets. So they were separating them out. And our interpreter had already left. So we get on the plane, and I was on the plane, and I'm thinking, are we going to, is this going to crash? This is one of those times we're going to crash, and they're going to be alive, and we're not going to make it, and those kind of things. So we're there, and we're praying, God, you know, help us get through this. And for some reason, our interpreter came back. Wasn't that just lucky? He came back, and he spoke to him. He said, what's going on? And they said, well, these tickets, you know, or whatever. And he's like, no, they're fine. And then eventually, in the end, we all got on the plane. We all came back. But you get in those situations, you're like, what is happening here? I don't understand what's going on. And then for that guy to come back, had to be a God thing, right? He came back and he said, hey, why are you guys still here? What's happening? He worked it out. And we were directed and we all came back. So it was one of those kind of times where you're like, yeah, I thank the Lord that he heard the voice and he came back. Said, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If we're not following the Lord, there's plenty of other things to think about out there, aren't there? Just watch the news for 10 minutes. Negative, 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 negative. Why can't we have a news station that just tells the positive things? This is going on. This kid had a success in school. This country built these things, whatever. The U.S. is helping out these people. Why can't we ever hear those kind of things? Why has it got to be always negative, negative? But we know the Spirit helps us think about things that are positive, right? I'm glad I got a family. I'm glad my kids are all healthy. I'm glad my mom's still alive. You know, all these things, whatever you can say. My dad passed away. May he's in heaven. You know, all these things that are the positive things. I may be feeling sick, but I'm still able to get up and do things. You know, I'm not crippled. I still have all my extremities. So we can be positive. We can think about whatever we want, but the Spirit helps us to think about things that are good for us, that the Lord wants, that the Lord encourages. Aren't I glad that my grandkids are doing well, that I get a chance to spend time with them, those kind of things. So on our own, we tend to be led towards sin and negative thoughts. If we're left to our own devices, it'll be like negative. Oh, the weather's bad. Oh, this is horrible. We were going through a neighborhood the other day. I looked at the neighbor's house, and I said, look at all those weeds over there. My wife's like, why are you judging them? I was like, what? She said, you look at the positive things they're doing. He was power washing something or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that's probably true. There's still weeds there, but anyway. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So if I let my mind control myself, I'm going to say every time I drive by this guy's house, look at the weeds. But if I let the Spirit go by, I'm going to say, look at that, he's a nice guy. Look at the two little twins they just had. He's out playing basketball with his kids. Right? We can pick whatever we want to focus on. The good or the bad. And if you focus on the good, that's what we're going to see. If you focus on the bad, that's what you're going to see. If you focus on turmoil and stress and problems and issues, you're not going to have any peace. You're going to have ulcers. You're going to have a hard time sleeping. You're going to be negative. Nobody's going to be around you because you keep talking about all the bad stuff, the bad stuff, the bad stuff. And you wonder why. How come they had that party and didn't invite me? I wonder why. Could be true, right? They didn't want the negative. But if you have somebody like that, maybe you can be the one who's the positive one, like my wife is. She's always the positive one. And point out the good things. What about this? What about that? What about those kind of things? And then you think about it, yeah, it's probably true. We can focus on all the negative stuff and see how bad the world is. We can focus on the positive things and look what God is doing and how many lives he's changing. And even in sports, whether it's real or not, I don't know. But the guys were saying, I thank Jesus for this. I thank God. We never heard that before. We always heard, hi, Mom, right? Never hi, Dad. Always hi, Mom. But now they're saying, thank you, Dad. Right? Thank the Lord for what he's done and that I'm here, that I'm healthy. They're giving God praise instead of themselves all the time. The Spirit controls us. Or let him have control, but it's not as a slave or robot, but as a guide and a helper. Right? We control our kids a lot of times. We hold their hand and take them across the street, don't we? And that's what he does for us, takes our hand and leads us. where we're supposed to go if we let him, where we could be fighting him, flailing all over the place. It says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sin nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who don't have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him. Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit gives us eternal life as we believe in Jesus. Because we know these bodies are going to die, right? You're not going to live in this body forever. Most of us are saying, thank the Lord. I want the new body. Give me the new model. Give me the updated version, right? That doesn't have pain or suffering or limitations. We don't all know what heaven's going to be, but it's got to be better than what's here, right? Talks about streets of gold and gates of pearls and all those things that are going to be there. And no more crying or suffering or pain or dying or anything else. Just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit within you. That means he gives us life now. Right? He talks about giving us abundant life. Does that mean you're going to get all the toys and clothes and everything you want? No, it's not talking about that kind of life. Talk about abundant spiritual life where you can have joy and peace and hope and happiness and help in him. That no matter what comes, you're not going to be led astray or knocked off or dissuaded. You're going to say, I'm going to follow him no matter what. I'm going to walk through whatever it takes to get there because I know what awaits me at the end. We have life, hope, and joy and peace, and the world doesn't understand it. They're like, how can you do that? How can you believe in this? This just happened. What's wrong with you? I know the Lord. That's why I have peace. I know where I'm going. I know whose I am. It says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you'll die. But if you live by the power of the Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, and you'll live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. But we need a power bigger than ourselves to live in this world. Try to live on your own, you're going to fail. You're going to hit brick wall after brick wall, failure, failure, failure. But when you follow him, it's going to help us avoid the deeds that lead to death. And we talked about this in the men's retreat. In sexual immorality, greed, gluttony, lust, inappropriate talk, and all the rest. God doesn't want us to do those things or give into those things. Some of your work environments, I've been in those work environments. It's F this, F that, F this, F that, every other word. And you're like, don't you know any other word besides that? Right? Everything is a cuss word, cuss word, cuss word. And then you find yourself saying, What am I thinking? Because that's constantly being put in your head and put in your head and put in your head. And then you're surprised when it comes out. And you're like, whoa. Well, yeah, because that's what you've heard all the time. Every single day, every lunch, every break, every whatever it is. And you got to start feeding your mind with the good things. The Spirit is stronger than any temptation or sin that enters our mind. We can have self-control and discipline because we belong to Christ and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do that. You don't have to say it. You can do or say something else or say nothing. So you've not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to confirm that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. And in fact, together with Christ, we're heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. We don't like that, do we? Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants pain. Nobody wants trials, struggles, tribulations. But they're going to happen. But we can know that we're God's kids, right? Say, that's my dad. You ever get in a situation where something happened and somebody came along, you're like, well, that's my dad, right? You can say it about him. When Satan comes along and tries to tempt you and give you false thoughts and information and things, and you're this and you're that, I'm not. Because that's my dad, I'm his kid. And he wants me to be just like him. So he looks after me, he watches over me. I can have faith in him, I'm in his family. And I'm a Christian. And my home is heaven. I'm just visiting here. I'm not going to be here forever, I'm just visiting. Someday I'm going home. with the knowledge that we'll be going to heaven, we're able to endure through the Holy Spirit. Yet when we suffer, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against this will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with the eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we as believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. All creation groans, doesn't it? All creation is like, oh, why are we doing this? Why are we going through this? You look at Israel today and we say, why is this happening? Why are people being killed? Why are people shooting rockets at each other? Because we live in an evil world. Not everybody's a Christian. A lot of people are against Christ. They want to do everything they can to get rid of it, to get rid of Israel, to get rid of all those things that are scriptural. But even though we groan, we know someday we're going to leave behind all this stuff, all this pain. And we wait eagerly for our full adoption. We can get our new bodies. It says we're given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must patiently wait for it. So we have a hope of eternal life, don't we? We have a hope of heaven, something to look forward to. You see, kids have hope during Christmas time, don't they? Mm-hmm. Shake, shake, shake. Which one's mine? My name on that? We should have that kind of excitement for heaven, shouldn't we? It's coming. We did a sermon a long time ago on, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Right? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. We need to be expecting that kind of thing in our lives. It says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants for us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father knows all the hearts and knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Anybody ever feel weak? Nobody. Nobody. Oh, Cindy. Okay, a couple people. How about weak spiritually? Like, I can't handle this. Or some traumatic event or some horrible things coming up and you're like, I just don't know how to pray for this. I don't even know what to say. It's so horrible, I don't know what to say. And it says the Spirit prays for us. We just groan like, I don't know. And the Spirit's like, I got this. I'm gonna pray to the Father for you because I know what you want to say. Even though you can't say it, you're hurting too much, I'll pray it for you. He's our advocate. He comes alongside. He stands with us, stands beside us, prays with us, and prays for us in harmony with God's will. And the last part says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them according to him, to come to him. Having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. You know, God wants your best. Even when he disciplines you. If we didn't discipline our kids, that means we wouldn't love them very much. To let them do whatever they want. It'd be wild maniacs all over the place. But you're going to say, no, you're not going to do that. We don't act like this. You don't say those things. Sometimes God says that to us, doesn't he? No, you don't say that. You don't think like that about that person, right? They're human beings. I created them. You need to love the person. You don't need to appreciate what they do or approve what they do, but you need to see them as my creation, and you love them, and maybe you can love them to me. So do we need the Holy Spirit? We do. He's our connection to God. He helps us live holy lives, leads us to Christ, gives us power, guides us, enables us to live for the Lord and not to follow sinful desires. Prays for us, guides us, directs us, gives us spiritual gifts so we can serve him. So this morning we're thinking about Israel, we're thinking about our families, and if you want a time, you want to just come pray, You can come pray this morning at the altar if you'd like. It's open. Pam's going to come play for a minute. If you want somebody to pray with you, you can. If you want to just pray by yourself, that's fine. If you want to pray in your seat, you can do that. We'll just have a time where you can, if you want to come forward, you can come forward. Nobody's going to force you to do that. If you have a concern, then you just come. So we'll just take a few minutes.
You can stay seated as we let's sing this song together, shall we? Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord comfort in life's darkest hour, there is light and life, there is help and power in the Spirit of the Lord.
Let's stand as we pray, shall we? Father, it's been good to be in your house. Our prayer is that we not quench the Spirit in our own lives. Lord, there's so many things you want to do through our lives, through our families, that you want us to do for you, Lord. We pray that we'll allow the Spirit to run free. We just thank you for the message today. Help us to go forth this week in the power of your Spirit, as Pastor has said. In Jesus' name, amen.